Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. My name is DJ Iverson. I'm one of the pastors here at New Vintage Church. I want to welcome you here. We are beginning a new series called Mind the Gap. And I love this concept that we're rolling out today, because there is a gap oftentimes in our lives between what we experience and what we know and hope to be true through God's word. There's a space there where we exist, where how we want to feel and what we want our life to look like is different than what it actually does look like and how we actually feel. There's a gap there. And paying attention to that gap, paying attention to that space is important. Paul said in Romans 7:15, I don't understand what I do. If I do what I don't want to do, but I hate what I do. And there's this space between, there's this gap where we are called to be and we are and where we are at now. And so we want to talk about that for this next few weeks. We want to talk about that difficult space in between where we would love to be and where we are now. Because if you're already there, if you're perfect, we would love to have you up speaking next week. If you've got it all figured out, that would be great. The invitation is a standing one. But for most of us, there is that gap there. And so we want to talk about that gap. It's important that we recognize and address and talk about that gap. It's a space of difficulties. The reality is that we live there until the Lord returns. And so we rely on His word, His grace, which is our strength, and His mercy to navigate this space. Amen? Today, I get the joy of talking about depression. Everybody say, woohoo, depression! Awesome. We are gonna have a little bit of fun with this. We're also going to dip, like Scotty said, we're going to dip into some PG-13. Our sermons are normally PG. We're going to be a little bit real today. So I just want to give that heads up. A couple of tests to see who out there has dealt with depression. If you recognize any of these bands, you have probably at some point wrestled with or come close to wrestling with depression, right? Like some of you are like, I gotta get rid of this playlist right now. That's fine. That's cool. Like there's plenty of us, if you're my age and you've never like sat in your car and just saying like, I don't care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray, and Wednesday. You guys know? Right? Or maybe if you're a little bit younger, if you're like, even after now, I still see you right. You know, some Dashboard Confessional. If you've never pulled out an acoustic guitar and just tried to play, congratulations. No. And then there's other, you know, there's, we got Drake up there, you know, if you're, I'm going to say. Maybe that's not your era. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I got a big no there. It's all right. Harry Nilsson back in the day, right? Harry Nilsson, if I can't live, if living is without you, oh, man, that's tough. Even Elvis, right? Where did Elvis stay? Where was his hotel of choice, right? I'm not going to do an Elvis impersonation, don't worry. Yeah, no. We're recording this. I've already embarrassed myself enough. I struggle with depression. I don't need any more ammo. And maybe you're not an artist. Maybe you're like, oh, no, this goes way back. It does. Maybe you're a poet. If you recognize this guy, this next photo, if you recognize him, this is the original goth kid right here. This is Edgar Allan Poe. I'm pretty sure he, like, defined all of our clinical meanings of depression. Like, you can find the literal definitions in his poems. And if you're like, nah, man, it goes back further than back. How about our boy Billy Shakespeare? Shakespeare put it pretty well. But it is a melancholy of mine own. compounded of many simples extracted from many objects, and indeed the sundry contemplation of my travels, which by often rumination wraps me in most humorous sadness. My words exactly. Like, if we're going to talk about depression, like, we go back to Shakespeare, or if you really want to go, if we use a Scotty term here, the goat of emo music, we're going back to King David. King David's the original emo kid. If King David were living today, he'd have his own YouTube channel, his own TikTok stream, sitting down with a guitar and just crying out to God, "Where are you?" Just, we know it's true. David, and that's what I love about David. Any emotion that you can think of, not just difficult emotions, not just depression, but any emotion that you can name, David's got a psalm for it, right? The psalms, like 150 psalms, David wrote most of them, and he's all over the place in his emotions there, and I love it. He's a teenage boy, right? And if you're a teenage dude, and you start talking about, like, you didn't have, like, a love letter or, like, some journal with some terrible poetry and stuff, confession time is later. You're lying. We know there's a box somewhere that got discarded of old love letters or whatever. But we're going to come back to David in the Psalms because it's a beautiful place to talk about description. I like leading with music, though. Music is a great place because music is a place where we kind of all have decided that we process a lot of our emotions. There's science behind this. Music is scientifically proven to help us process emotions, fight depression. I'm not a big science and health guy, but I know that when we listen to music, when we sing along, there are chemicals, neurochemicals that are released, like dopamine and cortisol, that help regulate our body and emotions and our ability to control that. That's how God designed our bodies to work. There's also a spiritual side. What I love about music is when I don't have the words for how I feel, a lot of times somebody else does, right? If I feel a certain way, I'm not sure. That person sounds like how I feel, or they're saying something that resonates with me. That's why I love Johnny Cash. I know Johnny Cash didn't shoot a man in Reno, but it sounds like he did. I believe him when he says that, right? When he's singing "Sunday Morning Coming Down," you know, oh man, I felt that way. I didn't have the words, but I felt that way. And so there's this spiritual element to music that helps us relate. And it's a powerful thing to be able to use somebody else's words, somebody else's feelings, to be able to express your emotions. Because there's a physical side of depression, there's a spiritual side of depression. And as we talk about it, it's important that we talk about, understand that there is a separation there. There is a separation there, but they work together. We can't separate the physical from the spiritual completely. The spiritual affects the physical, and the physical affects the spiritual. And this definitely applies when we talk about depression. There's mental depression, there's spiritual depression. There's a difference between the two, but there is constant interplay between the two. Mental depression is a physical change in the way that the body works. There's a chemical imbalance. There's a lack of energy, etc. Spiritual depression is a spiritual change in the way that our soul operates. God designed our bodies and souls to affect and react to each other, and that's exactly what happens. Our emotional state of our soul is constantly in flux. And our physical state is no different. A lot of times we associate depression with teens. And a lot of times, and this is after 20 years of youth ministry, my observation and science science backs this up. A lot of times teens struggle with depression because they're overwhelmed by physical change, right? The body isn't catching up. The chemicals in the body aren't, in the brain aren't catching up. The brain is literally expanding and using new area to process new emotions and new feelings and get a greater understanding outside of self. And if you've ever been a teen or know some or have heard of them, you know that teens are a little wonky. No offense to teens, you're wonky. It's okay. You're figuring that out. And a lot of time that depression comes from that inability to know how to navigate that situation. And so if you're a teen and you're feeling things you've never felt before and your body is going through changes that it hasn't gone through before and you look different and you sound different and let's be honest, you smell different. And all these things are different and all of a sudden, you know, the girl on the other side of the desk, all of a sudden she's hot. Right? And all of a sudden, like, poetry is coming to mind, and, oh, that's what that song means, right? You guys ever had that moment? That's what he's talking about. Got it. But you've never been there before. And a lot of depression comes from not knowing how to navigate the situation that you're in. And so we look at teens and we say, well, obviously, their bodies are in flux, their emotions are in flux, so that's where the struggle with depression comes from. But the truth is, and I'm realizing this as I get older, you know this too, your bodies don't stop changing. Amen? Amen. There's some sad amens there. But it's true, right? Your body doesn't do what it used to do. Right? The energy is not there. And a lot of times the depression for adults comes in from, I should know how to emotionally process this, but I don't. I wasn't prepared for this. I wasn't prepared for this person passing away. I wasn't prepared for this encounter that left me scarred emotionally. I don't know how to handle this situation. I thought my parents knew everything and they didn't. Now I'm a parent and I don't know everything and it's tough. It's difficult. I don't know how to navigate this situation. Adults struggle with depression because they're still overwhelmed by the changes in our emotion, the constant flux and change in emotion and physical body. I want to do a little clarification before we take our turn to Scripture, because I'm talking about depression and I want to make sure we have a couple things clear here. Depression is not, let's get a couple of misnomers out of the way. Depression is not a prolonged dip and I feel good. It's not a break from feeling good. We all have time. We can't all be at a 10 all the time. I know you know some people that try. You may know some folks that are like, that person is nonstop at a 10 energy level. No, they're not. Because even if they dip down to a 9 for a day, right? That's a dip there. We all experience high times and low times. Depression is not just, hey, I'm having a tough time. And I don't want to disregard the power of, hey, I'm just having a tough day. Because that exists, amen? How many had a tough day this week? Get your hands up. If you had a tough day, it's okay. That does not necessarily mean it's depression, though. Amen? We all have tough days. Depression is not a difficult string of events. Hey, you know what? It's been more than a tough day. It's been a tough year. Okay. I've had A through Z of difficult events in my life this year. I understand there are people out there who live much more difficult lives on a daily basis than we do, and they're not depressed. They're full of joy. So it is not the circumstances that dictate the depression. Amen? Lastly, Depression is not a lack of effort. A lot of times we start spiraling down when we get to this place, when we say, there's nothing I can do, I'm not trying, or this person isn't even trying to do better, right? It's not through lack of effort. Now, sometimes what appears to lack of effort is simply a true depression, which is this. Depression actually is, and this is how it's defined by a lot of greater minds than myself. Depression is an inability to feel pleasure, especially from things that used to lift you up. Meaning the things that you used to find joy in no longer bring joy. That makes sense. Depression is an absence of hope that things will get better. Everybody say absence of hope. That's one of the best working definitions out there of depression. It's not that things are tough. It's that the person has lost the hope that things will get better. That's what we talk about when we talk about depression. It's this place we get to where we say, I don't see an end to this. I don't know how this changes, and I don't know how I find joy or hope in this situation. And lastly, depression is a lack of capability to navigate your current surroundings. If there's something that's on your plate that you are not equipped to deal with, and we all have that at some point, right? We all have that at some point. We all are allowed to experience things that we can't handle. You weren't supposed to be able to be okay with that difficult situation that happened. And so if there's a time of depression, if there's a time of sorrow, and a time of not being able to understand how things are going to work out and that loss of hope, it's important for us to recognize that this is a season of depression. And so we move forward from there. I think this is a great time in history to be depressed. There are more people being treated for depression now than ever before. That was pre-COVID. The numbers since COVID have skyrocketed. And here's why I think that's a good thing. I think we've always struggled with depression. We haven't always talked about it. I grew up and I heard zero sermons on depression growing up, even as a teen. I think the first time in church where I heard an honest conversation about depression was in my 20s. And by that time, I had already struggled with depression for 10 years. And so it's important for us to recognize that this is also happening in and outside of the church. I believe that we're called to reach others for Christ. And a lot of times we talk and we use this fun little church phrase of like doing life together, which I'm still trying to wrap my mind around whether I like that phrase or not. A lot of times that's fun stuff, but I think this is a beautiful place for the church to reach in, amen? If we can be the people that are open enough and confident enough to talk about our struggles, mental, spiritual, etc., I think we can be a real blessing to a lot of people, because here's the truth. If you and I like the same team, we're going to get along. We're going to have some fun conversations, and we're going to have ability to relate. But if you struggled with depression, and we start sharing our battle scars and our war stories and this war of depression, we're connecting on a soul level, on a much deeper level than any other folks are going to be able to connect. And when God is the center of that, when God is the glue that draws us together to be able to have those conversations, it's a beautiful thing. Beautiful things happen. We talk about changing lives. We talk about blessing others. We talk about sharing good news. We know folks that are struggling with mental health. We've got them here in our midst. You want to take a quick survey real quick? You don't know what the statistics say? Take a look to your left. Yes, your left. Take a look to your left. Take a look to your right. Statistically, all three of you have struggled with depression. What a beautiful place for the church to enter the lives of others. Amen? We remove the stigma. We create the conversations. And that's happening in our culture, whether we're a part of it or not. But here's what we have to offer that our culture doesn't. We have the truth of God's word. Amen? And I'll say this. I believe in the power of counseling. I believe in the power of the medical science and mental health. But there's nothing that will cure depression like the love of the Lord. Amen? There's no substitute. There's a lot of great stuff out there, but there's no substitute for the love of the Lord. And so let's talk about this. Let's talk about one of David's songs here real quick. Psalms 38, 4 through 8. Man, if somebody could get me like a guitar and like an E minor chord or just like, you know, just hear this, you know, and just a whiny teenage voice. I think it's beautiful. David goes into Psalms 38, 4 through 8, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. Maybe David was a little bit older. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I love this line. Dude, if this isn't like an emo song title, I groan in anguish of heart. How many of you guys have said that one before? Some beautiful poetry. Yet David is called a man after God's own heart. There's a gap there, right? Let's fill this in. David's called a man after God's own heart, but he's out here putting out lyrics that put Warped Tour 2009 line up to shame. He's at a breaking point. He's talking about his breaking point. And if you've ever reached a breaking point, you're in some phenomenal company. A man who God called, a man after his own heart, a man that God called to lead his people. A man that God called to lead his people is penning those lyrics. And so if you're struggling with that today, you are in good company. Let me get personal for a second. I struggled with this for a long time. When we moved to Washington in the middle of my freshman year. By the way, don't move to Washington State in February. You're from California, wait till the summer. We didn't see a sunny day until May. And I was just learning how to surf. I thought, sweet, I'm moving to Seattle. It was 1995. I was like, I got all my, like, beat-up clothes out of the closet, flannels. I figured, like, we're right in the middle of grunge. Let's do this. We ended up out in the suburbs, far from all the grunge. So missed the mark on that one. And for about a year, year and a half, didn't have any friends to talk to. I got to a place where I was a kid eating lunch in the library alone. And the depression hit, there was no end in sight. And so I say this not as a boast. I say this because God pulled me from that. God rescued me from that. Twice I tried to make some terrible decisions because I couldn't. I wanted to permanent solution to temporary problems. And twice God used friends and family and other situations to pull me from that. And I say that not to boast in myself, because the battle is still real. I say that as a fellow warrior. If you're struggling with depression, if you're near your breaking point, you've got other warriors with you. And I also want to take this opportunity, I mean, let's be for real. Let's throw the slide up here. If you're at a breaking point, and like a simple talk or coffee with a friend isn't going to do, man, call this number. Right? If that's on the table, if that's there, please call the number. Seek that help. It would be foolish of me to talk about this and miss that opportunity to put that up there, because there is help out there. But I want you to know you are not alone. You're not alone in this struggle, and there are other warriors who have fought this fight in your midst. And maybe we haven't talked about it enough, or maybe we just don't see that enough. And so let's begin those conversations today. How do we turn this around? How do we fight this? How do we fight this good fight? Powerful verse that changed my life. It's my favorite passage in the Bible. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Also, don't think of yourself lower than you should, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. And I love that term, sober judgment, because how often do we simply not see ourselves clearly? If we're clearly looking, we're not looking at our lives through our own eyes. If we see clearly, we're looking through God's eyes. Amen? If we're seeing clearly, everybody say, see clearly. If we see clearly, we're not looking through our own clouded vision. We're looking at ourselves, our lives, through the vision of God. And how we see ourselves versus how God sees us is often very, very different. Especially if we're fighting depression. If you're fighting depression and you see yourself over here in low and in the mud and just grasping for whatever, who is it that Jesus reached out to immediately? God calls out and God lifts us up from there, from that muck and that mire. The obstacles, when they seem too big, what does that obstacle look like to God? The God who created everything. What's his perspective on that obstacle in front of you? Next, when we're turning things around, when we're seeing ourselves clearly, you are loved by God. Romans 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love already has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? It doesn't say you're a sinner without struggle. It doesn't say Christ died for everybody that has it all together already. It says God died for those of us who are in the most difficult and dire situations. I put this at the end of social media post: know you're loved, right? That's the foundation of how we make that change, of how we see ourselves clearly, right? Know you are loved. Last little bit on that. There's simply no substitute for the love of God. There's simply no substitute for the love of God. It's a fundamental shift in perspective. In all of creation, Genesis says, you were made in his image. Of all the things that God created, you were made in his image. And 1 Corinthians is just sprinkled throughout 1 Corinthians. It reminds us, you are a holy temple. You're the dwelling place of God. And so if we're going to talk about this change and understanding that you're loved by God, recognize that God chose you to be the holy place, his dwelling place of his Holy Spirit. Next, we cry out. We know where our help comes from. Psalm 34, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. When he says righteous, he doesn't mean everything is perfect. What he's meaning are people who know to go to God. Those are the righteous people. Doesn't say they don't have troubles. The righteous cry out, Lord hears them. He delivers them from their troubles. Righteous people have troubles. And God delivers them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He saves those from those who are crushed in spirit when we call out. If you're struggling with depression, I want you first and foremost to know and plant the seed that God loves you. And then it's time to cry out. Write your psalm. Get the guitar. Get the pen to paper. Cry out to God. Seek the help that you need. Wise people, listen to counsel. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. A big part of depression is not knowing how to get from here to there. And you weren't equipped to do so, but God says, I will counsel you. You come to me in prayer and I will counsel you. What do we do when we're overwhelmed and we don't know how to deal with the situation? We seek counseling. God's free. That's a deal. I had to pay like $100 an hour the first time I went to counseling. It was worth it. My dad had passed away and I didn't know how to deal with that. I wasn't supposed to know how to deal with that. But I got that equipped. I was equipped to deal with that because I listened to wise counsel, wise godly counsel. And that helped me navigate from a place that I was stuck in outside of that place. Seek counsel. Because the truth is, counsel is simply equipping you for situations you're not equipped to deal with. And here's a fun one. Ready? You guys want to hear a secret? You're not always supposed to be okay. You're not supposed to be okay all the time. It's not just that it's okay to not be okay. I've seen that shirt. Love it. But you're not supposed to be okay all the time. Some of those powerful stories in the Bible have come from times in, where God has sent people through the most difficult situations. And he didn't do that because he was mean. He didn't do that for sport. He did that because he had a grander story for them on the other side. Amen? You think Moses would trade in the first half of his life for the second half? Moses had it tough. We lift him up as this example of courage and leadership. First half of his life, not so much. But God pulled him through. Moses listened to God and pulled him through. Next up, we got to wrap this up here real quick. Live in transformation. Listen, our minds are always changing. Our emotions are always changing. Our bodies are always changing. It's a fact. Let's embrace that. And let's live in transformation. Let's do this with purpose. Romans 12:1 points toward, says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And this is your holy worship to God. And a life of sacrifice points towards a practice and a discipline of change. It's a recognition that things don't get solved overnight. Your depression is probably not going to get fixed tomorrow. But things can get better every day. Amen? Your problem may not get solved tomorrow, but things can get better every day. As we know that we're loved and we allow that to grow, as we cry out for help, as we are constantly transforming ourselves, and growing in word and growing in knowledge of God's love and sacrificing ourselves for others and serving in whatever it is that God is using to build you up, a life of sacrifice points towards practice, a discipline, a change. Next up, if we're talking about making change in our life, sing a new song. Listen, I got my rainy day playlist. We had rain last week. We have rain coming next week. I'm really glad we had a sunny day for depression. That may have been too much. Thanks, Scotty, for that joke. You know what I like to listen to? Like on the first rainy day, I'll pull out my grunge playlist. But like by the second or third day, man, I'm cranking out some like reggae. I want some like island music that just makes me happy. I need a new song. After a few days of rain, I need to switch my playlist up. And for some of us, that's where we're at spiritually. It's time to sing a new song. Hey, if I'm always singing these songs over and over and over again that bring me down or that relate to me when I'm down, maybe we switch it up. Maybe it's time for a new song. That's exactly what David did. Psalm 40, the same guy who penned the emoest of emo lyrics, right? The same guy who's talking about the groans and pains. He cried out to God, and God lifted him up, and this is what he wrote in Psalm 40, just a few chapters later. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. He put a new song in my mouth. Maybe it's time for us to sing a new song. You're not there yet. I understand. That's what we're working towards. Know that you're loved. Cry out to God. Embrace that transition. Sing a new song, and finally, celebrate community. One of Satan's best tools on depression is loneliness and isolation. He's a hunter, right? We've all seen the videos of, you know, the wolves picking off the weak one of the pack. Satan's a wolf. It's really hard for Satan to attack you in when you're in the midst of community, a deep community. I always laugh because I used to travel a lot, fly solo. My dad worked for the airlines. And without fail, if I was traveling by myself in my 20s, I would have all kinds of interesting quasi-religious groups just straight up talk to me, like get in my way and stop and talk to me and say, hey, young man, like, are you searching for meaning in your life? And are you happy with this? And I'm like, nah, dude, you smell, and I got a plane to catch. Never happened when I travel with my family. If we were rolling four deep with the Iverson crew, they're not coming after me. They don't even give me a second glance. They don't see me. But if I'm rolling solo, I'm getting stopped every time. And that's how that works, right? We celebrate our community. Here's the cool part about this. You feel, well, DJ, part of the depression is I feel alone. God is with you. Right there's community. And that's the basis for a community. And God brings us together. God has put people in your life, and maybe you just can't see it right now, but they're there. There are people here that care about you. I care about you. The people in this room care about you and your soul. God cares about you. God cares about you enough that he sent his son to die on a cross. And that's how we're going to celebrate community as we wrap up this sermon. We have this communion time. I love communion. I love that we take communion every week. Because communion is this. Communion is our reminder that Jesus died on the cross for us. And I will tell you this right now. If you're feeling low, recognize that there's a human being who is God in nature that was willing to sacrifice themselves for you. Love you so much, was willing to take on all of your sins, was willing to take on all of your frustrations, and was willing to come down to this earth just so that he could say one of the most powerful statements that we can hear: I know how you feel. Jesus came down. Any emotion that we've had, any difficulty we have, we bring it to God, and he said, and Jesus goes, I know how you feel. So we're going to celebrate him right now, his broken body, his blood on the cross. Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the love that you provide. We thank you for the light that you provide, even in the most difficult of times, God. And Lord, if we can't see it right now, I just pray that you would just keep shining your light, Lord, until we do. Lord, as we celebrate this time with communion, with each other, with our physical presence, our spiritual presence, and your Holy Spirit present, God, I just thank you for that intersection. And Lord, for anyone that's struggling with feeling alone or isolated or feeling like there's just no hope, God, I pray that right now you would give us hope, that you would give us strength, that you would give us all the things that we need, Lord, to live with you in glory. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.